Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Be trying to figure out how we're going to get out of this mess, and here you are trying to have communion. When he gave thanks, he broke the bread and he went on and ate it. Didn't say that they all took it, but he said that they ate it. Then he says, and he began to eat. And then when they saw him eating, and then they were all of good what? Cheer, and they also took some meat. After they saw him, somebody got to be the leader. And whoever it is, I hope they're spirit led. Because the person who's spirit-led won't let this thing get them down because everybody else is looking at them. And when they saw Paul eating, they begin to cheer up a little bit. They begin to say, well, we might as well eat along with him. We all in this together. And if he can eat, I know I ought to be able to eat. And so sometimes God allows you to be in something with somebody, not so you can bellyache and complain with them and say, woe is us. Look at what they've done to us. But God is allowing you to be in there with them so that you can finally say, I'm still going to have communion with God. I'm still going to give God praise. I'm still going to eat. I don't care what happens. They're not going to make me worry till I can't eat anymore. But I'm going to eat for my health. Say, because we need a word, we need to eat on the word of God so that we'll be healthy enough and fit enough that whatever comes our way, we'll be strong enough to be able to overcome the obstacles that come in our life. And when they had taken some and they ate, it was 116 souls. And when he had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat unto the sea. Now, they had wheat. That means they had food. They had something that they could have traded and got plenty of money for. And they said, after we took the last supper, come on and say amen. We need to lighten the ship. And some of us, we need to lighten our ship too. We got some stuff that could bless us, but it's weight on us. Come on. And we got some stuff that could be a blessing in our life, but it's really heavy weighted in our life, and we need to start throwing it overboard. Amen. We need to get rid of some things, and what he's saying here is that we need to get rid of the stuff that might cause us to sink. We need to get rid of some stuff that might cause us to drown. We need to get rid of some people that could be good friends, but then again, we might need to drop them overboard. Come on and say amen. We need to get rid of, if money is your problem, you need to say, you know what, I need to let money go, and I need to give my heart to God. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, if food is your problem, turn over your plate and say, you know what? This is why I can't even get God the time that he needs to have because I'm too busy eating all this food. Come on. If your TV shows are your problem, you need to turn that flat screen off. Better yet, unhook it from the wall if that's your problem and say, this month I can't be watching nothing because I'm trying to watch and pray to see what God has for me to do. You don't have to say amen, but that's true. Oh, yeah, it could have blessed them. It could have been good for them. But then they said, no, we'll throw it over because we want to survive. We want to make it through this storm rather than drown with all of this. You can have all the money in the world and still die. Oh, yeah, you can watch all the TV you want. That's still, come on and say amen. It still don't mean that you're going to watch something that's going to get you through what you're about to go through. Come on. You can watch all the health shows you want. You can watch all the CSI you want. It ain't going to make you no smarter. Oh, come on and say amen. But we need to get the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God that comes from knowing him and having his spirit on the inside, being led of God. They threw it overboard. Verse 39, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but discovered a certain creek which was ashore, with a shore, and into which they were minded if it were possible to thrust the ship. Now, look at this. Now, we find out that they're still in danger. But after they cheered up, they begin to see some daylight. Lord, help me. I said, weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? They got some joy. Joy came on the next day. Come on and say amen. And so when it was day, they got joy. They took communion that night. And then when it was day, they were able to see a land, but guess what? It was a strange land. They had been in darkness so long, they didn't know where they were. And sometimes when we go through trials and tribulation, when we go through heartaches and pain, we're at a point that where I just don't know where I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go in. Well, all we need to do is just trust in the Lord. Oh, he says that they didn't know, but what they saw was a good idea. And sometimes a good idea is not God's idea. Oh, yeah, we got to remember that your mind will play tricks on you. Oh, yeah, your mind will make you think that you can get to a place that you really can't. Now, you trusted God to get the joy of the Lord. You trusted God that he's kept you this long, but all of a sudden, you let your soul kick in. You're not operating and following the Spirit like you should do, but now you're trying to reason among yourself. You're trying to reason in your mind. What is the voice of the soul? It's the voice of reason, because I take a calculation of everything I see, hear, feel, touch, and taste. Come on and say amen. I take an evaluation of all of that, and then I make a calculation in my mind, because my mind is the computer. Come on. And it computes what I think I can do, and then we're not walking by what we think we can do. We need to understand that you can do all things through Christ that's strengthen you. I'm not looking at my ability to be able to get in. Oh, come on and say amen. They saw a place that they wanted to be, and they said, I believe we can maneuver to get there. God is not telling us that we need to try to make some certain maneuver to get to where he wants us to be, because God has a way of getting us where we need to be. Come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah. He said they were minded that if it were possible to thrust the ship in the creek. Come on and say amen. And verse 40 says, look at this danger that they put themselves in. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hosed up the mainsail and to the wind and made toward shore. They thought that they were doing the right thing. They thought that they could maneuver them where they could turn the sail and the sail could get the wind and the wind could push them in. Oh, come on and say amen. And what this represents is man, the Spirit of God, the word Spirit is the word pneuma, which means the wind or the breath. But when man tries to manipulate the Spirit, Lord, help me. When you try to manipulate God's Spirit, look at where you end up. Look at verse 41. I'm trying to preach to somebody this morning. When you try to manipulate the Spirit, verse 41 says, and falling into a place where there met two seas. When you try to manipulate the Spirit, you find yourself in between two things. Lord, help me. That's why we can't make a right decision sometimes, because we're caught between the two. I'm caught between, Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. But he was between two things. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Come on and say amen. But he said that I'm going to whatever the Spirit wants me to do. He said they were in between a place where two seas met, and they ran the ship aground. And the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with violence and waves. Now, just when they thought they had made it through the storm, just when they got them some daylight, just when it seemed like they can see the sun, and maybe by tomorrow night we'll be able to see which direction we need to go in, even though we don't know where we are right now, but seem like it's getting better, seem like we survived the worst part, then the worst happens. Come on and say amen here. The worst began to happen, and they tried to manipulate the wind to get in a place they thought they needed to be, and they couldn't make it because they got stuck. When you're not flowing in the Spirit, following the Spirit, you'll find yourself stuck in a place and you can't get out. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, to preach it and get out of here. Oh, you'll find yourself in a place of danger. Remember, we talked about how Paul had discernment, and we talked about their disobedience and how they were discouraged, and here they found themselves in a greater danger than they was when they were anchored. And you see, we have to learn what it means to really be anchored. We need to have our soul anchored in the Lord. That means that if the wind come and the waves rise up, I'll still be able to make it, because I'm unmovable in God. I'll be, as they sung today, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Am I preaching too long for you? Well, hold on just a minute. I'll be through. Huh. Oh, yeah. He says that all of a sudden they let up the anchor. They tried to get in a place they thought they should be, but they found themselves falling in a place that they couldn't get up from. Now, even though they were in the midst of danger, here, look at God's deliverance. If he leads you, he'll lead you through the storm and he'll lead you out of your situation. Look at this, verse 42. And the soldiers, look at their counsel, to was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. The soldiers, the protocol was, it was cruel, but no matter what you've done, you may not have been a violent criminal, but you were a criminal and they didn't care what you've done, but their protocol was, if something like this happened, to go ahead and kill all the prisoners. Now here it is, you went from people that you was having breaking bread with, people that you were praying with, to all of a sudden now you want to kill them. That happens when you don't flow in the spirit. That happens when you don't follow the spirit. You get to a place that the same folk that you broke bread with, the same people that you prayed and fasted with, now you want to cut them. Come on. Now you want to. All right. Okay. Not you. Then he says, look, he says, now, and they didn't want him to escape. And all of a sudden, verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. Now, God is so good that he always puts somebody there to intervene. When mankind was in the shape that it was in, full of sin, God put Jesus here to intervene. Oh, yeah, come on. When Israel kept going back to the gods of the Canaanites and kept being led captive away and being oppressed by the enemy, God, every time in the book of Judges, he raised up somebody to intervene. Oh, come on and say amen. And then he set a priest there to intervene. Whenever Israel, every year, whenever they came to sacrifice, the priest was there and he entered into the holies of holy so that he could what? Intervene. And so God put a centurion there, and his purpose was not to destroy Paul. He didn't care about the other ones. Come on and say amen. But he was looking after Paul. And the reason why is because this man had been chained to Paul. Oh, Lord, help me today. This man had been bound to Paul. Oh, yeah, and I can imagine why Paul had him chained up, bound to him. Amen. That Paul said, do you know this Jesus that I'm going to jail about? Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. Do you know that Jesus will deliver us? Oh, come on and say amen. Do you know that this Jesus that I'm talking about, that he was dead, but he's now risen, that he lives and he's alive in me? And the reason why I preach him, because I met him and he had risen. Oh, come on and say amen. Did you know that this same centurion had been chained to Paul, and Paul had convinced him that Jesus was the Christ? And so he said, I gotta save him. Lord, help me today. And see, instead of you complaining about the one who chained it, oh, Lord, help me, the one who's doing their job to chain you up, you need to be trying to get them saved. You need to be trying to tell them about Jesus. You need to let them see you praying instead of seeing you complaining. You need to let them see you praising instead of throwing a pity party. Paul could have said, please let me go. But Paul said, no, you got to make sure I make it to Rome, because I got to preach this gospel I preach to you. I got to preach it in Rome. Come on and say amen here. We can't come on and say amen. God has a plan and he has a purpose. No matter what the plan of the enemy is, God's purpose will stand. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm almost done. And the centurion, the Bible said, he was willing to keep Paul alive. He wanted to further the gospel. Come on. He wanted to see Paul live, and because he wanted to see Paul live, the rest of them were able to live. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying because you want to make sure the gospel is spread. You want to make sure that the person who's presenting it is all right, then everybody else will be. Lord, help me today. All right, I won't deal with that much. It's not April yet. You'll get that. Amen. He says that he wanted to keep Paul alive and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea and to get to land. So he said, look, we're going to take our chances. Paul said that we all going to make it, but we're going to let everybody jump in, and those that can swim, swim in. If you can't, grab something. Oh, come on and say amen. And if you're to die, then you'll die. But God's will be done. Come on and say amen here. But we look at this. He said that they cast themselves into the sea. And he said, and the rest of them, he said, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all to safe land. The deliverance of the Lord, even though the enemy has a plan, God overruled the plan because God had made a promise. He made a promise to Paul that you're going to make it to Rome. Oh, come on and say amen. He gave Paul a word, and even in his discernment, he knew that they shouldn't do what they were about to do. Mm-hmm. But Paul said, I'm not going to keep complaining about your disobedience. Even though you're discouraged, I'm going to try to encourage you. Look at the man of God. He said that now we're in danger, but look at God's deliverance. He said, now whoever it is that can swim, and some of us, we can swim. And what does that mean? Some of us, we can make it by ourselves. Some of us, you don't have to have somebody to hold your hand to get you to safe to shore. Some of you don't have to have somebody to call you every few minutes and say you're still saved. Somebody don't need somebody to call them every few minutes and say it's going to be all right. You know it's going to be all right because you got your hands working and you're trying to press toward the mark for the prize. But there are some of us that need some support. Some of us need to grab a piece of something. What am I grabbing? I'm grabbing a piece of the ship. I'm grabbing hold of the church. Oh yeah, Paul told him, if you don't get away from the church, if you don't get away from this ship, oh come on, praise his name. He said, you'll be saved. Oh yeah, but then when the ship begin to break up, and don't you know that sometime there are going to be some waves that are going to hit the church of God. I'm not talking about Living Word. I'm talking about the universal church. You see, all of this, they don't want us to talk about Christ. They don't want the children to talk about it at school. Don't want you to talk about it at work. But I dare you to grab a piece of the church. I got a piece of it. I'm taking it to work. Oh, I'm going to let them know how I got over. If I didn't have this piece, oh my God, today. Oh yeah, he said that they grabbed a piece and they all made it safe to land. What we got to realize here is that Paul was led of the Spirit. And he said, they that are led of the Spirit, they shall be called the sons of God. And that doesn't mean that you won't go through tribulation. That doesn't mean that you won't go through trials. But the Bible even declares that through much tribulation, you enter into the kingdom of God. I'm almost finished now. He said through tribulation, and he said tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. The mere fact that you're going through tribulation is to teach other people that we have a hope that won't let you go around with your head hanging down. We have a hope that'll make sure that you're able to lift your head unto the hills which cometh your help. You have a hope. Oh, come on, praise his name. See, some people here don't realize them who they are. Paul realized who he was. He realized that he was an apostle. He said it over and over again. He told the people in Corinth, he said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. He told them in Galatia, he said, I've been called by God and not by men. Oh, come on, praise his name. So you need to know who you are. And since Paul knew who he was, oh, come on, praise his name. He said he was there to teach some lessons. He knew that God had called him to teach a good lesson. But before I go to that point, I got something I want to show you. God uses us to teach lessons. The Bible says, if you don't believe it, let's look at Job. Job talked a lesson to the devil. He taught the devil a lesson. He said, devil, you can take all that I got. You can even afflict my body. He said, but God liveth. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. He said, God give it. God take it. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Do I have anybody that said I can be like Job? I'll teach the devil a lesson. I teach the devil a lesson that whatever he does to me, I'm still going to be saved. I'm not going to curse God and die. Oh, come on, praise his name. We got to give God some praise because he's brought you out. He said he who he foreknew, he already predestined. And God knows what you're about to face. He knows the storm. He knows the devil's come to your life, but you need to stand there and teach him a lesson. The Bible says, God says in the book of Daniel that the three Hebrew boys, you see, up until then, fire needed to be taught a lesson. Fire needed to be taught something. He thought he taught fire a lesson when he let the burning bush burn and it wasn't consumed. But fire thought it can touch the anointed of God. And so God said, come here. I want you three boys. Don't complain about the fire. Just go ahead and get in. I'm ready to teach fire a lesson. And he taught fire that you can't burn the ones that belong to God. Can I get a witness here? Some of us may be going through fire, but the fire need to look out. Some of you saying, watch out for the fire, but the fire better watch out for me, because I am an extinguisher with my faith. Oh, praise God. That's why Paul said, he said, you extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked with your shield of faith. So when the fire comes, I got faith. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say? They said, the God that we serve, whether he does it or not, we know he's able. That's faith speaking. Can I get somebody to say, my faith has spoke up for me? Oh, praise his name. Or better yet, let's go to Noah. Water had drowned many folks. Water had killed a bunch of them. Oh, come on, praise his name. But God needed to teach water a lesson to let, come on and say amen. Do I have a church in here to let water know that whoever I want to save, no matter what you do, you can fill the earth up, but I gave him perception. I gave him discernment that he built an ark, and water, you can't destroy him. Oh, praise his name. So when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up a standard. Say yes. Say yeah. Well, let's go on a little further. Let's flip back to Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and the Bible didn't say it, but man said this, that the lion is the king of the jungle, and the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, but they threw Daniel in a den of lions. I heard a man say a lion's den could be a den with no lions, but a den of lions is a den that's full of lions. So he put him in a den of lions, and all of a sudden, God said, I gotta show the lion that you can't eat what you want. Oh, praise his name. I gotta show the lion that you can't devour me. Oh, praise his name. So when the devil comes your way, you need to remember that God said he can't do it. He's as a roaring lion. Jesus already been a dentist to the lion. He defanged him, took his teeth out, and the most he could do is roar at you. The most he could do is try to gum on you. Oh, praise his name. Say yeah. Let me go on a little further. The Bible says, the scripture we just read, the Bible says that God used Paul to teach the storm a lesson. You can try to destroy him. You can try to trick him. You can try to kill him, but you can't hurt him. You'll make it through the storm. Come on and say it. Say yeah. The Bible says, if you read the next chapter, chapter number 28, the snake had to learn a lesson. Because in the Garden of Eden, it was the snake that tricked Adam and Eve and told them, if you eat this fruit, God said that you'll be this or that. I'm going to praise his name. When we look at what the snake did, God said, now the snake need to be taught a lesson. By the way, I heard Jesus say, he said, you'll walk on the serpent and Diana, say yes here. Praise his name. He said, you're a handler snake, and they can't hurt you. And the snake needed to be taught a lesson. And while Paul was carrying some sticks, there was a snake that leaped out of the fire and bit him. You see, the snake was in the fire. Somebody say, yeah. I wondered why the snake was in the fire. It's because the fire said, we can't hurt him. The water said, we can't kill him. The lion said, don't look at me. And the fire said, the last person that was able to do anything with God's man was the snake. And so God, I'm going to get in this fire, and I'm going to get God's man. Oh, praise his name. And the snake said, I hide in you if you don't burn me. The fire said, come on. I promise not to burn, but we got him now. And when Paul went to lay the sticks in the fire, the snake latched on, and Paul looked at it and shook it off. Something that we need to do. How to handle your haters. Shake it off. Say yes. Say yeah. The snake needed a lesson. Oh, say yeah. So God said, let me find Paul. Somebody here. The enemy needs a lesson. And God is saying, I'm looking for you. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, seeking one person he can prove himself strong to. Are you that somebody? Say, here I am. Lord, use me. Use me to let cancer know that it can't kill me. Use me to let high blood pressure know it can't take me out. Use me. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Use me, Lord, to let the world know that there is a God that came down through Jesus Christ. Say yeah. So here we are. The Bible says, and I'm almost done. This is my third close, but this is the last one. The Bible says that hell, death, and the grave needed to be taught a lesson. Come on, praise his name. Oh, yes, it did. And all of a sudden, they didn't find a man that can go through hell, death, and the grave. There was some man that died, but they didn't come back. There's some men, even the righteous men, could have went to hell and never come back. Say yeah. There were some folks, the Pharaoh went to the grave and never got up. Say yeah. But Jesus came through 39 prophets, 42 generations, and say, I'm here. Say yeah. In Matthew 5, he said, I come to teach you. Say yes. So he sat down and taught him. But 33 and a half years after he was born, oh, praise his name, 33 and a half years, he took up an old rugged cross. Say yeah. Went up a hill called Calvary, and he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Say yeah. And when he died, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. Oh, praise his name. But the Bible says that he went to hell, taught hell a lesson, that hell, if I come to preach this gospel, everybody that hear it and believe,
we know your hearts have burned through hell. By the message of Living Word Ministries,
I made it through hell.
Living Word Ministries of Natchez, Louisiana.
And he went back. He said, I hadn't raised it. He had to teach death a lesson.
Natchez, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
You know, in every lifetime we face situations that occur. And when we get to talking about death, it kind of